Sleepwalking is relatively common in kids. How did it progress? How could it progress to something so complicated as driving?
Well, we know that sleepwalking, as you say, is so normal in children that it's almost part of childhood. You know, if I pick up my children in the middle of the night, they will often sit up, sometimes even walk, and have no recollection of that. But in about 1 to 2% of adults, that state of being partly awake and partly asleep persists. And we think that the primary cause for that is genetic. People have an underlying genetic predisposition to a brain state whereby part of their brain is awake and part of their brain is in very deep sleep. What we know happens is that during this state, part of the brain called the frontal lobes, which is really the seat of our rational thinking, of our planning, of our personality, remains in very deep sleep. So it's almost disconnected from the rest of the brain, whereas parts of the brain that are responsible for things like emotion and for movement demonstrate ongoing waking activity. And it's that discord in the brain that results in these really sometimes very complex behaviors.
What is the best way to guide someone who is sleepwalking back into safely into bed?
I think the answer to that is very gently, because what you want to try and avoid, particularly in adults, and you know, this used to be thought of as a bit of an old wives' tale, is try not to wake somebody up who's sleepwalking, because that might be dangerous to them. In actual fact, you know, occasionally what has been described as people becoming violent or aggressive when they've been woken up. So gently guiding them back to sleep and back to the bed is probably the best way of dealing with them.
So many people use alcohol to get sleepy at night, and I've never met a doctor who actually recommends this. It turns out a lot of sleep problems seem to be related to lifestyle factors, environmental factors, which is to say alcohol doesn't help.
No, alcohol really doesn't help. But whilst it is a sedative and it helps people get off to sleep, it actually disrupts sleep quite effectively and makes the quality of sleep rather poorer. I think the other issue with alcohol is that it often makes snoring worse. And alongside snoring comes sleep apnea, which is when people often obstruct their airways in the night and stop breathing for a few seconds. That's a very good disruptor of sleep and can often trigger these kinds of events, but can also create other problems as well.
So there are medications that can make us drowsy and keep us asleep for hours at a time. And there was a time when it felt like sleeping pills might be the solution to the problems of people who don't sleep well. Why have so many doctors backed off using them?
Well, we know that sleeping tablets, first of all, they don't mimic natural sleep. What they do, they act as sedatives. They really push you into sleep, but the quality of that sleep is not the same as natural sleep. But it's not only that. We now know that many of these drugs are associated with a range of problems. First of all, people often develop a dependency. They often require increasing doses of drugs to try and get the same sedating effect. Many of these drugs result in daytime sedation. So there are the clear correlations between certain drugs and, for example, the risk of road traffic accidents in the morning or the risk of falls, particularly in elderly individuals, which creates problems as well. And so there has been a general sea change in how we deal with insomnia. We think that insomnia is primarily something that's termed psychophysiological, so that there are psychological factors and also physiological factors that give rise to a loss of the association between being in bed and falling asleep. And so using non-drug-based techniques has now been demonstrated to be probably as effective as many of these drugs, and in the long term, it doesn't create some of the issues surrounding these drugs.